Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 2, beginning at verse 1, then looking at Psalm 73. We'll start with Psalm number 2. Why do the nations rage and the people's plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers of the earth. Excuse me, let me start that verse again. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Verses 1 through 12, all of Psalm 2. Then looking in Psalm 73, Psalm 73, beginning at verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Verses 1 through 28, all of Psalm 73. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you, Father, for how that your word guides and directs us. Father, you told us in your word that your word guides, rebukes, directs, and teaches us. And thank you for the wonderful gift your word is to us. Father, more and more help us to be people that listen to your word and apply it, a people that are continually listening to your voice through your word and your spirit and committed to faithfully putting into practice the truths we learn into our lives, and thus being both faithful hearers and doers of your word. Guide us so that with every passing day we'll become more obedient to you and your word, than we were the day before. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I want to remind you once again of our Open the Floodgates campaign, a campaign we here at AFA are doing along with the Bible League International. We're providing Bibles for the continent of Africa. Let's open the floodgates and pour God's word onto the continent of Africa in much greater abundance. Keep in mind, we, along with the Bible League International, seek to share this gift of the Word of God with lots and lots of believers on that continent who don't own their own Bibles. 50 million Christians on the continent of Africa lack their own Bible, and we want to help make a difference in addressing this need. People on the continent of Africa need the Bible to help quench their spiritual thirst, and large numbers of people are getting saved on the whole continent every single day, and more of them need the precious Word of God to grow up, the pure milk of God's Word to help them grow in their faith. Your gift of $5 can help to address that. Your gift of $5 is that which will help transform lives through God's Word. Our goal is to provide 15,000, at least 15,000 Bibles. And so keep in mind, if you'd like to participate, you can simply call this number, 1-800-YES-WORD. That's 1-800-YES-WORD. Or you can donate by going online by visiting AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. $25 provides 5 Bibles, $50 provides 10 Bibles, and $100 provides 20 Bibles. Hope that you'll get involved. Once again, that number is 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. Partner with us along with the Bible League International to help provide gift Bibles to people in need of their own copy of God's precious Word. Again, we started out by looking here on the Hour of Intercession at Psalm 2 and Psalm 73 as well. And I want you to keep in mind today we're looking at the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. And keep in mind, this is a call that every believer in the world is really called to. We live in a day and time in which, tragically, you see where the world is trying to say that good is bad and bad is good, and trying to turn around right and wrong, and trying to teach people that they can make their own decisions and decide for themselves what's right and what's wrong. And, of course, that's not true by any stretch of the imagination. If we want to know what truth is, we go to the Word of God. Psalm 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is the foundation to all truth. All truth comes from the Word of God, and it's based on the Word of God as well. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not truth. And so it's important for us as believers to be committed to reading God's word and applying it in our lives, reading it, applying it in our homes and within our families, applying it in our communities, in our state, our nation, our world. Again, the devil's trying to totally rebel against the Word of God and the will of God and the things of God, the kingdom of light. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we are called to be salt and light in a dark world. And so every believer has the task of, as the Word of God tells us, to speak the truth in love. We're to love people enough to tell them the truth. We're to say it in love, but speak truth, because truth is what sets people free. So again, today we're looking at specifically the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. Well, why is it important to be bold in this day and time? Well, the fact is, it's very easy to be intimidated about some of the things that we see going on in the world. As we start off, I want to remind you about a resource that is a great tool that will help you to pray effectively for our nation, for our culture, for the church, for leaders. It's a tool, a prayer tool entitled Praying in Victory, and you can get it. You can go online and go to the website, prayinginvictory.com. Again, prayinginvictory.com. Pull it up, and you can download this great prayer book entitled Praying in Victory, and it's a prayer book based on the Word of God and based on scriptures that draw straight from Scripture, Praying in Victory. And let me remind you, it specifically contains at least 9 different prayers, each of which is a very important scripturally based prayer that helps you pray effectively. Like, for example, if you happen to be a new believer, but you want to pray effectively for the things and the matters that are heavy on the mind and the heart of God, well, again, this is a great prayer tool, because, for example, some of the topics that this prayer book addresses. Let me just share them with you. And again, prayinginvictory.com is where you find the prayer book. I would encourage every single listener, go online and find it and download it. But it includes prayers, for example, let me give you the titles of the prayers. Praying for the government. Number one, praying for the government. Number two, praying for nations. Number three, praying for Jerusalem. And of course, that's praying for Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Number four, praying for missionaries. Number five, praying for pastors. And that's you want to pray for pastors and spiritual leaders in the body of Christ, period. Number six, praying for pastors' family. Seven, praying for the church. Eight, praying for relationships. Nine, praying for the children. And each of these is an important area and matter to be concerned about. So hope that you'll go online. Again, prayinginvictory.com is where you find it. Again, prayinginvictory.com. And you can download the prayer book. And I would encourage you to get it and begin to pray through all nine of these prayers every single day. Because every day you take time to pray through them, you're doing very critically important spiritual warfare. You're tearing down the strongholds of the enemy as you take time to pray. Remember, the devil is terrified of believers who know how to pray and pray effectively and pray faithfully. And so it's very wise for us to make it a high priority to be a people given to prayer. As we start off, we're going to take time to pray the prayer of praying for our government. And let me remind you, our government is in need of great prayer today. Our nation and the nations of the world are in great need of prayer as well. So let's pray for our leaders. Thank you, Lord, for those our leaders in government. Thank you for the leaders in the government of this nation in particular. But Lord, not only this nation, thank you for the leaders that serve in government, the governments of the different nations of the world. Thank you for the state government leaders of our nation. Thank you for those of the rest of the world as well. We thank and praise you for them all. Wherever they might be, we thank and praise you for each and every one of them. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for each of these, our governments and all these our governmental leaders. I pray more and more for all men and women having authority over us in any way. More and more, pour out your spirit upon us and make your word known to us. Cause us to be men and women of integrity, obedient concerning us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let wisdom enter our hearts and let knowledge be pleasant to us. Let discretion preserve us and understanding keep us to deliver us from the way of evil and from evil men. More and more, make these your leaders, make their hearts and ears attentive to godly counsel, doing what is right in your sight. Let the upright dwell in our government. Cause there to be a shaking in all areas. Let those complete and blameless before you stay and cut off the wicked. Let the unfaithful be rooted out. Bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the secret aims of the hearts. Let this nation remember from where they have fallen, repenting and returning to doing their first works, setting their hearts and their souls to seek the Lord, humbling themselves, praying and turning from their wicked ways. Then hear us, O Lord, and forgive our sins and heal our land. More and more, open eyes and turn us from darkness to light. Soften the hearts that are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Deliver them from their destructions. Father, you've been long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. More and more, raise up a standard in this nation. Cause the rains of your spirit to flood this land and revive your work in the midst of us. Raise up intercessors for this nation to pull down strongholds over this land and let the glory of the Lord be revealed. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. And remember, every one of us is called to be salt and light in a world that's trying to decay before our very eyes, a world that in many ways is trying to rebel against God, against the Word of God and the will of God. And as we stand and speak the truth in love, we will bless people and point them to the Word of God and to God, who is the answer to everything and every concern. We'll be right back after this break.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, The healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
My pastor preached a message recently entitled, "I Wish I Had a." Sounds funny, but here's the premise. It is amazing how quickly we forget what God has done for us. Remember when the children of Israel lost the privilege of entering the promised land? One man from each tribe was chosen to go and investigate the land of Canaan. When they returned, 40 days later, they were filled with fear. All of them, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, thought that they should retreat and return back to Egypt. Return to Egypt? Did the Lord just bring you out of bondage? Didn't the Lord just cause Pharaoh and all his boys to drown because they were after you? Didn't you just finish crying out to the Lord to deliver you from making brick with no straw, and now you want to go back? The spies took 40 days. Israel wandered 40 years because of a missed opportunity. Don't say, "I wish I had a." Seize every opportunity and never forget what God has done. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. Just go ahead and admit it. You're spoiled. I know that I am. We as Christians often forget just how privileged we are. There are benefits that come with being a member. We get to enjoy the many benefits of the gospel that people in other religions never understand. If you ever take the time to talk to people who have been in other religions and are now a part of the body of Christ, chances are they will share with you that the one concept most difficult to grasp was that of God the Father. You are a child of the Most High God. Everything the Father has is yours. You are the rightful heir. If for some reason you never had an earthly father that cared for you, you can take comfort in your heavenly Father showering you with gifts and blessings. The only thing you have to do is learn to receive. It really is okay to be spoiled and know that you're spoiled by the one who created you and prepared a place especially for you. You are royalty. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of BB and CC Winans, the song Lost Without You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. There's a great need for us in the church to understand that every believer is called to be salt and light in this world. A believer that lives by truth, that reads and meditates on the word of truth, God's word, and a believer that will speak up boldly and in love, speak the truth in situations, in basically all the situations we find ourselves in, as God would have us to. We're speaking truth because it's truth that sets people free. Again, we see, tragically, the world going wild in so many ways, and there's never been a greater need for us to speak the truth of God in the world. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, it says, a portion of it says, wisdom calls aloud, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? I'm going to read a part of this passage, and I want you to really listen to it because it has some very important insight for our culture and our world today. Again, this is Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. I'm reading verses 10 through 24. Again, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because you have called, and because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. That was verses 10 through 27, actually, Proverbs chapter 1. Now, I want you to key especially on verse 22. Again, it says these words, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and of course, the King James Version itself also uses the word simple. But I want to break this down to you. I want to help you to better understand exactly what it's saying. Listen again to what it says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And one more time, the first part of verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now, the word simple is a nice word that you find in these two translations of the Bible. But let me give you a more accurate translation of that word. The word simple more or less means very foolish or stupid. That's what it means. Basically, the scripture is saying, hey, stupid, how long are you going to stay stupid? Now, again, that may sound harsh, but that's really the meaning behind it. And part of the point to be made is that sin is stupidity in action. And it's important to understand that. And sadly, we see a lot of stupidity going on in our culture today. Stupid things being done, foolish things being done, laws being enacted that are foolish and stupid laws that are against people, that bring destruction and trouble into people's lives. And it's important to know God's word speaks to that, very powerfully speaks directly to that. Sin is, again, it's foolishness in action, and it goes against wisdom. It goes against common sense as well, which tragically is not as common as we wish it was. But again, remember, the word simple, as I said, is a nice word for the word stupid or a nice word for the word foolish. And, you know, if you refer to someone as being foolish or a fool, often people take that as an insult. And, of course, in many ways, it might would be just that. But to a person that rebels against God is acting foolishly. That's what the word means. When someone rebels against God, they're acting foolishly. So someone in rebellion against God basically is a fool according to the word of God. Again, so that scripture is basically saying, hey, stupid, how long are you going to stay stupid? Well, the fact is, again, we see way too much stupidity going on in our culture today, and there's such a need for us in the church to understand, number one, if we stand up for truth, we'll be honoring God, and also we'll be helping people. Again, stupidity and foolishness, the stupidity and the foolishness of sin when lived out brings loss, trouble, and destruction to people's lives. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Again, sin, when lived out, ultimately will lead to death. So as we look around in our culture, we're confronted daily with stupidity in action. As we listen to the news and see things being enacted, see things being carried out. Keep this in mind. To give millions of dollars to a group like Planned Parenthood to destroy babies, that's a stupid thing to do. A man choosing to marry another man, that too is an act of stupidity. Giving a man the green light to use a lady's bathroom or a lady's fitting room because he says he feels like a woman, again, that's stupidity in action. Yet you see people not only standing for that, you see people in leadership trying to enact laws and say that it's a governmental action. Again, stupidity in action. And when people go along with this madness, this craziness, this insanity, giving it the appearance of legitimacy, well, again, that too is stupidity in action. And a critical point to be made is not just these kinds of things, this kind of sin lived out. Not only is it stupid, not only is it foolish, but ultimately, again, it leads to death. Remember, it's not just a matter of people doing foolish or silly things. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Also in James chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Now, we need to understand this. This is not just a matter of people deciding to do silly things that have no consequence. Remember, sin has great consequence. And again, ultimately, sin will kill people. It leads to death 100% of the time, sooner or later. So these are things that not only are people doing, but these are things that will bring destruction into the lives and the community of those that carry these things out. So it's not just a matter of an opinion. It's a matter of truth. And remember, sin will kill you. Sin will bring destruction. So understand this, as the word says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Real freedom, and of course that verse is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Real freedom is found in coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and following him. That's where you find real freedom. Genuine freedom, it's important to understand what it is and what it's not. You know, God's word is truth, and we're told in John 17:17, your word is truth. When you're reading the word of God, you're reading truth. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Real freedom is found in knowing God's will and living it. That's where you find real and genuine freedom. Truth helps us to differentiate. It helps us to know what's right and what's wrong. It helps us know what's good and what's evil. Truth always honors God, and truth is what sets people free. Knowing truth and applying it leads to true freedom in life. Now, keep in mind, it is not freedom for people to be able to do whatever they want to do. Now, often in our world and in our culture, we make the mistake of thinking freedom is just being able to do whatever you want to do. That's not real freedom. And it's very important that we as believers understand real freedom is not being able to do whatever you want to do. Understand this, allowing people to do whatever they want to do in their humanness and in their own flesh, not only is that not freedom, that is what will kill people. You know, I think of this, for example. Sometimes you hear people talk, sometimes you hear believers share testimonies of the things they gave up before they got saved. They may say things like they gave up drinking, they gave up smoking, they gave up chasing men or women, gave up drugs, gave up drunkenness. Keep in mind, all of those things were not wonderful lifestyles. Those were things that would kill them had they kept on down that road. So that's not freedom to be able to do those kinds of things. Though some people might think it is, it's not freedom to be able to do whatever you want to do. Proverbs verse 29, verse 18 says this, and this is the New Living Translation. And listen to this very carefully because this is a powerful revelation from God's Word. Again, Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Again, listen again. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Again, that's the Proverbs 29, verse 18, the New Living Translation. The King James says, without a vision, the people perish. It's important to know, too, when people can make their own laws, their own rules, and live whatever way they want, it will lead to destruction 100% of the time. We should never think that we as human beings are in a position to make up our own rules. We've got to set guidance and rules and laws according to the precious and powerful word of God, because God's word is truth, and it will always lead to blessing, grace, and making things better. When people and human beings are allowed to make up their own rules, it will kill them time and time again. Tragically, we see money enables many people to indulge in destructive lifestyles, which often end in misery and even death. It's so sad to see how that you hear celebrities who sometimes have the money to buy drugs and do things that they want to do, and it ends up where they end up either accidentally or sometimes purposely killing themselves. Well, again, though people may say that because they've got lots of money to buy and do what they want to do, that that's freedom, that's not freedom. That is bondage of the worst kind. So real freedom is found in knowing Jesus Christ and following him. Don't ever let anyone convince you that freedom is found in being able to do whatever you want to do. Human beings, when they have the freedom to do whatever they want to do, will kill themselves, again, 100% of the time. The story is told of a goldfish, and of course this is an illustration that makes a powerful point, but the story is told of a goldfish that grew tired of living in his little fishbowl. So the goldfish decided that he wanted to be free of the restraints of his fishbowl, and so he decided he wanted to get out and see the world. So the fish began to leap, and he leaped, and he leaped, and finally leaped out of the fishbowl onto the counter. And when he reached the counter, he cried out, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." And 5 minutes later, the goldfish was dead. Again, his so-called freedom led to his death. Remember this, real freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Real freedom is found in knowing Jesus Christ and following him, and it's not found anywhere else. One of the most important things we can do as the church is to speak the truth of God in love to a world that's full of darkness and destruction and bondage. We must love people enough to truthfully confront their tendency to want to run after sin. Sin will kill 100% of the time. And sometimes it may seem like a tough thing to do, but remember, the most loving thing we can do to people is to speak truth to them. Truth is what sets people free. Jesus Christ is truth. And when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's where real truth can be found. So it's important that we're always, as the church, faithfully carrying the gospel to a world that desperately needs salvation, because there's nothing they need more than coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives and knowing how to follow Jesus Christ as well. If you're a listener today and you know maybe, for example, that you're not saved or you're not sure if you're saved, today is a good day to give your heart to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is where real freedom can be found. If you would, I'd like to invite you to take a moment, if you would, to pray this prayer of salvation with me. If you feel a need to commit your heart, to be genuinely saved, to commit or to recommit your heart to the Lord, again, today is a good day to get saved. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I do believe Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world, lived, I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later he rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Help me to follow you my whole life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd like to invite you to let us know. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. I'd like to hear from you. We'll be right back after this break.
My name's Marquise and I'm 10. My mom used to have ecstasy parties at our house, but now my mom's different. She went to Teen Challenge, a drug addict, and came home a drug-free mom.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the track stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go.
One of the most common questions about spiritual warfare is why God allows it. Dr. Tony Evans says it's not for lack of power, but to make a point. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
He wants all of us to see through this angelic conflict that he is a holy, perfect God, and he does judge sin. He wants us to see his wisdom. Ephesians 3:10, it says that God does what he does so that the manifold wisdom may be made known to the angels in heaven. God also wants to demonstrate his power. You don't know how powerful he is until there's opposition. Romans 9, verse 17 and 18 says, what if God, wanting to demonstrate his power, raises up Pharaoh? Follow Israel out here. Keep coming. Moses says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, and the waters start to part. God can't skip sin, yet God loves you. So if he can't skip sin, and yet he loves me, how can he satisfy his justice that must deal with sin and also satisfy his love? He must have a plan of grace. And so in grace, God has provided salvation for people, which means that he can justly deal with his holiness while at the same time expressing his love, and that is the manifold wisdom of God. God wanted to demonstrate that there is no life or meaning or hope apart from him.
Learn more about that balance between justice and grace in Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll teach you how to live in the spiritual victory Christ died to give you, even if you're dealing with chemical, sexual, emotional, or relational strongholds. Get a copy for yourself and order some extras for your church. Details on victory and spiritual warfare are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Bow down, let go of your idols. child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.
The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. And of course, we're speaking to every believer listening. Remember, God calls each of us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer should be involved in helping to share the gospel every day of your life. We should be praying that God would use us daily to be witnesses for the gospel. And also, we're called to speak truth, to speak the truth of God in love, to stand up for truth, even when it's tough, even when it's hard. Because again, remember, truth is light to the world, and the world is has so much darkness in it. Desperately needs the light of the truth of God's word. Again, in Psalm 2, again, a short psalm, but a powerful psalm that reminds us of the fact that too often the world will clearly be seen in a position of just clearly rebelling against God, our Heavenly Father. Psalm 2, again, tells us these words. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege you call us as your church, the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You call us to be salt and light in the world. You empower us by your Spirit to do just that. Lord, empower us this day with the spirit of boldness and courage to stand and be lights that shine brightly in a dark world, that stand for truth even when it's tough, even when it seems difficult. Help us to know, Lord, that every day we're to boldly and courageously stand up and speak out truth that will bless and set people free. Help us to know, Lord, that you're ready to use us in so many ways and in so many places if we'll but be mouthpieces that are wide open to obeying you as you guide us by your Spirit to, again, in love, speak your truth. Guide us so that faithfully we'll do this in our own homes, so that we'll do it in our communities, we'll do it in our places of work and in our schools, and wherever you call us to be, help us to speak out and be bright, shining ambassadors for your kingdom, the kingdom of light. Thank you for the privilege of being vessels you can use to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking today at the topic here on the Hour of Intercession, the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. I want you to key on this very important point. You know, we also have seen in recent months and times instances where our government, sometimes we use force to get things done. And of course, there's a right time and there's a wrong time to do anything. And again, remember, what's right and what's wrong is based on the wisdom of God's word for an individual, for a family, for a community, for a state, for a nation. What's right and what's wrong is not subjective. Again, it's to be based on the wisdom of God's word. Again, when should a government use force and when should it refrain from using force in a given situation? Well, that's an important question. Why would a government use its power, strength, and weaponry to use brute strength against, again, recently in news we saw where they came against Mr. David Dalyden. He was an individual who used undercover means to expose the tragedy of what Planned Parenthood does. And, of course, recently in the news we learned that his home was raided and video material that he produced concerning the Center for Medical Progress, it was seized by the local government. Why would all of this be done to protect individuals that kill babies? Now, I want every believer to keep this very important point in mind. We live in tragic times. We live in crazy times where our government finances the killing of babies in the womb. Now, how crazy, how insane is that? Yet again, our government finances the killing of babies in the womb. Now, again, we say we stand for human rights, yet tragically, Babies in the womb are a race that in our culture, it's like the culture saying they have no rights. They can be destroyed just because of the choice of the individuals involved. That is so wrong because God's word is very clear. God's word says, thou shalt not kill. Proper translation, you shall not take innocent life. So God's word is clear. If you want to know what does the Bible say about abortion is against the will of God 100% of the time because God's word is very clear. It says, you shall not kill, you shall not murder, in other words. So for persons that wonder, well, is there ever a time that abortion is justified? Never. Never, because God's word is very, very clear. So if ever you get a chance to counsel someone who asks you what should they do, if they should keep their baby or not, encourage them to keep the baby or consider putting the baby up for adoption. But taking the baby's life is never the will of God. God has a plan and a purpose for that precious baby's life. So remember, if you want to be an ambassador for God and for the kingdom of God, speak up. Boldly speak up and encourage that person to either keep that baby and also let them know that you're willing to, in love, help and do what you can to help them in that process. Encourage them to keep the baby or consider putting up the baby for adoption. If they feel like they really don't want to keep the baby themselves, there are lots of people out there, lots of families, couples that can't have children that would love to have that baby. So be on the side of God and be one who will speak up and say, keep that baby or prayerfully consider adoption, but never encourage them to go down the road of abortion. Time and time again, when a family chooses to go down the road of abortion, there's so much collateral damage. Again, when parents force their teenage daughters to get abortions, they may think the daughter will get over in a few weeks, but too many times you find that weeks and months and years later, the daughter has never, ever gotten over the fact that, in fact, sometimes she'll say in her mind or her heart, my daddy and mama made me kill my baby, and she may never fully get over it outside of the grace of God. So remember, again, when you can encourage someone to keep their baby or consider putting the baby up for adoption, you can save that family from a lot of heartache, a lot of difficulty, a lot of stress, lots and lots of loss. So encourage them to do as Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, choose life that you and your posterity may live. That's a very important point then. Well, again, keep in mind, it's important that we try to really do things God's way, a way that honors the Lord or not. Again, we live in a country where on the one hand, governmental force was used to seize the items of the David Dalyden in his situation. But keep this in mind, too. Ambassador Chris Stevens and other U.S. citizens, they were in another country. Why did our government did not choose to send the same kind of force to help protect he and them? And they died. They perished in a foreign land. And it happened largely because of a lack of governmental protection. Our own government didn't provide the protection they could have provided. So keep in mind, why would a government help in one situation and not help in another? Why would the government use force, again, in one situation but not use the power it clearly had in another? Well, again, keep this very important point in mind. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in tumultuous times. We're living in wicked times. Yet God is still on his throne. That's why the church, we've got to pray. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for this upcoming presidential election. God is and always has been our only hope, and we need to remember that God is very much on his throne. But a key issue and a very important work for the church to do is to always pray for God's will to be done. Remember, when we work, but when we pray, God works. Let's be a people that will pray much for God's hand to be at work in and through government, in and through our culture, in and through the church, in and through the world. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have being able to pray for our nations, for leaders, for those who are in authority, for those who are in positions of leadership. Father, more and more raise up righteous leaders who will honor you in the decisions they make and the directions they take and the things they choose to do and the priorities they set as leaders in our government. More and more turn our leaders to be righteous leaders and turn them in righteous directions. Help them to honor you in who they are and what they do and how they carry out the work they've been called to. And guide us in the church to do our part to really pray much for them, both to be raised up and to pray for them once they make it in that position of power and authority as well. Help us to know, Lord, that great spiritual warfare happens in and around seats of government. Help us to never, ever take it lightly when we pray that you would raise up righteous leaders, and help us to never take it lightly that we would pray for you to keep righteous leaders walking in a righteous path. Help us to be faithful to pray for them every single day. Help us to be faithful to pray for spiritual leaders as well, who function in a prophetic role to speak truth to leaders, to governments, to culture in a way that your word will go forth in power and give guidance, direction, and hope to people who would be completely without it outside of that voice, that prophetic voice going forward. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that you can use each and every one of us as we simply make ourselves available. Oh, Lord, there's so many things that we as your people can do as we give ourselves to prayer and as we give ourselves to boldly be willing to be your mouthpieces to speak truth in love to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that, again, your light is always able to overpower darkness in great enough volume. Help us to allow your light to shine and to be poured out in more and more wherever you call us to go out, go and be vessels of your light, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that we live in dangerous times and difficult times, but greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Help us to never, ever be hopeless. Help us to not ever despair. Help us to never, ever become discouraged and down, because you are on your throne. You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're over all governments, all nations, all kings, all leaders, and you are the King. You are the leader. You are the one and only God. Thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father who can always be trusted. And help us to know, Lord, that there's no need for us to be fearful. There's no need for us to live in fear, for us to be full of anxiety and worry, because you're on your throne. Thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father. And Lord, help us to always keep our eyes on you. And help us to remember that as long as we keep our eyes on you, there's never a reason to despair. In fact, never even a reason to be discouraged, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, for being God, El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk as we've looked at the topic of the call to be bold, courageous, and prophetic. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.